Ik ben blij dat we u een impressie kunnen geven van het concert wat hier zo meteen gaat plaatsvinden. En waar zo'n enorme belangstelling voor is, dat de kerk totaal is uitverkocht. En waar het om gaat is het thema van vanavond, Carried by Grace, gedragen door genade. U voelt zich verbonden met Out of Power en wij voelen ons bijzonder verbonden met u.
Vanavond wordt uitgenodigd voor de bruiloft van zijn zoon, dan weet u wat het betekent dat het beste nog komt. U bent toch, denk ik, daarom bent u toch ook hier gekomen, mensen die leven met Jezus Christus op de allereerste plaats. En dan komt het beste nog.
Die God is onze God van hem. Hij schenkt uit goedheid zonder pijn. Die God is onze God van hem. Hij schenkt uit goedheid zonder pijn. Ons eeuwig zalig leven.
Vandaag staan ze over de hele wereld centraal. Goedemorgen, hartelijk welkom bij Hour of Power En het is vandaag Moederdag. En ik weet zeker dat een aantal vaders dat al vergeten is. Dus vandaar dat we er toch even extra aandacht aan besteden. En dat doen we vanmorgen met Maya Middeldorp. Maya, goedemorgen.
Goedemorgen.
Jij hebt je moeder nog, ik heb gelukkig mijn moeder nog. Wat maakt Moederdag zo bijzonder? Of is het een commerciële gebeurtenis?
Nou, daar lijkt het natuurlijk wel veel op. Maar ik vind het wel heel fijn om mijn moeder eens extra te laten weten dat ik heel veel van haar houd.
Ja, hier nog één. En daarnaast gaan we praten over stress die vrouwen meemaken op hun werk. Wat voor gevolgen dat heeft. Ik denk zeker dat je jouw kennis een oproep gaat doen aan mannen om wat meer voor hun vrouwen klaar te staan.
Ja.
En we krijgen schoonmaaktips.
Natuurlijk.
Ja. Nou, is mijn huis vervuild dan?
Jan, het is bij jou super, super, super schoon. Maar je weet, een sop diva als ik weet altijd wel iets te vinden. Pas maar op later.
Okay, goed. Nou, dat wordt een, denk ik, mooi gesprek op deze vroege zondagmorgen. Iedere kijker, jong en oud, van harte welkom. Dominee Schoele, de jonge dominee Schoele, spreekt in de Crystal Cathedral over liefde die alle vrees verdrijft. Een prachtig thema uit het Johannes-evangelie. En waar liefde is, is geen vrees, is het thema. En verder wordt er veel gezongen, onder andere door het mannenkoor. Alleen een mannenkoor. En dan zingen Over a Thousand Tongues to Sing. En dan is er een vrouwenkwartet. En zo wordt het een heel bijzondere uitzending. Hartelijk welkom bij Hour of Power op Moederdag. Over naar de Crystal Cathedral.
It's Sunday. This is the day that God has made for us to rejoice, to build our faith, and to thank Him for the blessings. And now, turn around and shake hands with somebody close to you. Give them a blessing. Say, God loves you and so do I. Let's pray. What a collection of people we are, O Lord. Nobody here knows everybody else. Somebody here is a stranger to somebody else. But you know us and chose to motivate every single human being to be here in this hour of worship today. And so you will bless us. We expect it. We sense it. We know that the great things that are going to happen haven't been planned. They will be spontaneous movements of the Spirit. And we will be blessed. Hallelujah. Amen.
Thank you.
you may be seated. I invite you now to listen to these beautiful words from the Holy Bible found in Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. You know when I sit, when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was designed by you when I was made in the secret place of my mother's womb. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to me. Ah, how precious to me are your thoughts. Oh God, how vast is the sum of them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. choir. My guest today is Clifford Harris, the founder and president of the nonprofit drug alternative program in Grand Terrace, California. Clifford was born into a loving home. No one suspected that he would one day be entrenched in marijuana. But between 1966 and 1984, he was arrested more than 40 times, all on drug-related charges. He lost his family, his home, his friends, because of the consumption of drugs. Today, he's here to share how God captivated his heart. Give him a warm welcome. Death Dances, the book. Born and raised in a Christian family, how in the world did you get started?
Well, I wanted to be one of the fellas. I wanted to do what they were doing. And I can remember when these gentlemen introduced marijuana to me, I got angry. I was upset with them. Why are they smoking this dope? But I wanted to be part of. So I sucked on the weed. But pretty soon, marijuana wasn't good enough. And I went to heroin. And when you start doing heroin, you start stealing. And then you're going to jail. And, you know, all of these things in your life is going in a downward spiral. I remember one night, one Saturday night, Ronnie and I.
Ronnie?
This is one of my drug buddies that we got high together. And we were looking for someone to rob, to get some money so we could get high. And we went downtown and we found this couple in this parking lot. And they must have been going to a banquet or something because she had on a nightgown or, you know, evening gown, and he was dressed in his tux. And I knew Ronnie was going to shoot this man. And I went and stood in between Ronnie and the man. And I had my brick hammer and I'm cussing and yelling at this man to get up under that car. If Ronnie had a shot that man, he shot me. He shot me. They would have caught us, and I would be in the jail to the day.
Where was the shot?
Right here. I want to tell you how good God is. I used to watch this show on television. Never in my faintest mind that I would be up here, up here with you. That's God. We can't give it no one else the credit but God. From where I have been and what I have done to my family, to my neighbors. Oh, man. This is joy. Yes, this is joy. I really looked at my life. Here it was, 20 years of drug abuse, and I'm back in the Colorado State Penitentiary for the second time. And I really looked at my life, and I said, look at you, Harris. You ain't got nothing. You ain't nothing. Your family has deserted you. You have no friends. And I thought about this when I was in the penitentiary. I put it like this. People that go to church don't go to jail. And you know, basically it's true. People that go to church don't go to jail. And I was tired of jail. I was tired of the drugs. I was tired of the courts. I was tired of the police. And all I said to myself, when I get out of here, I'm gonna go to church. Go back to God. And that's what I did. And that's where I am today. And you know, you look at my life. Look at me. I look pretty good, don't I? Don't I? But you know what? I didn't always look like this. Hair like this. But only God can do that. And I just want to help somebody not go through what I did. Thank you, Pastor.
Listen, I want to pray for you. May I touch you?
Of course, of course.
You sent your invisible fingers of power through the skin of the bone,
yes,
touching some core in that brain, and you changed him.
Yes.
You healed him.
Yes, Jesus.
Now you're using him. Hallelujah. Amen.
Praise him. Thank you, Pastor.
As the deer panted for the water, so my soul longed after thee. You alone are my heart's desire.
Maya Middendorp is vanmorgen onze gast op Moederdag en zij is de schoonmaakdiva van Nederland. Of wil je zo niet meer genoemd worden?
Oh ja, absoluut.
Ja?
Ja, waarom niet? Vind je het geen goede kreet voor
ik
mij?
Ik vind het echt goed, ja.
Ja.
Hoe gaat het met Maya?
Met mij gaat het goed.
Ja.
Ik ben nog steeds heerlijk aan het soppen in Nederland. En ik probeer vooral ook jongeren en de mensen die werken, maar ook mannen zoals jij, wat bewuster te maken van wat er allemaal gebeurt in het huishouden.
Maar heb je niet het idee dat wij als mannen vandaag denken, nou, dan spannen we ons even extra in, want het is Moederdag, maar morgen zijn we het weer vergeten.
Dat vergeten jullie inderdaad, maar dan ben ik er nog met mijn boek.
Ja.
Ja, en ik ga jullie vertellen dat het wel degelijk nuttig is dat jullie allemaal meehelpen. Want zoals je weet, de meeste vrouwen die werken nu, hè, en dat is niet meer alleen uit wilde, die moeten meewerken. En je kan niet van die vrouwen verlangen dat ze en werken, en een gezin, en kinderen, en ook nog een vrije tijdsleven hebben met vriendinnen. Dat gaat allemaal niet. Dus je zou schrikken als je hoort hoeveel vrouwen er op jonge leeftijd al een burn-out hebben.
Oh ja?
Nou, ja, 78% van de vrouwen die zich ziek melden, die hebben iets van een burn-out. Maar ook al,
omdat ze en op kantoor werken en ja, de zorg voor het gezin hebben en het huis.
Ja, want iedereen, ook de maatschappij, vindt het maar zo makkelijk van, dat was de vrouwentaak en die vrouwentaak blijft vrouwentaak. En ja, dat moet veranderen.
Maar je bent ook wel een beetje somber, want de tijd dat gezegd werd, het enige recht van de vrouw is het aanrecht. Nou, die ligt wel ver achter ons, toch?
Dat is leuk gezegd, maar nu nog meehelpen. Want zeg eens eerlijk, wat help jij allemaal mee?
Heel veel. Nou, dat kan
echt
ik
waar?
Ook. Ja, zeker. Ja, zeker.
Oké. Okay.
Ja, ja.
Nou, dan ben ik trots op je.
Maar ja, je bent heel erg bekend en beroemd geworden met de serie een aantal jaren geleden, Hoe schoon is jouw huis? Waarin je met je moeder in een autootje met allerlei huishoudelijke attributen naar een totaal vervuild huis ging. Dat was grappig. Aan de ene kant ook opvoedkundig. Maar je hebt er een missie bij gekregen. En wat is die missie?
Nou, door Hoe schoon is jouw huis heb ik gezien hoeveel leed er is onder mensen. Dus ook eenzaamheid vooral. He, want niemand wil graag in zo'n troep leven. En als wij komen, in dit geval mijn moeder en ik, dan is het al te laat. He? Dan is jouw leven al niet meer echt op de rails. Dus wat ik nu wil, is het voorkomen dat het zo ver komt dat wij bijvoorbeeld langs moeten komen, of dat je in een isolement komt te zitten, of ziek thuis zit, niet meer kan werken, je kinderen niet meer kan verzorgen, daardoor eventueel zou moeten gaan scheiden. Oh, er kunnen zoveel problemen uit voortkomen, ja. Terwijl je ze van tevoren al kan tackelen, weet je? Je kan er iets mee.
Je hebt ooit gezegd, ik pak de dingen met twee handen aan, en met mijn linkerhand werk ik hard, en mijn rechterhand, dat is mijn geloof. En die
werken met mij samen.
Ja?
Ja.
Grappig. Wat is je geloof dan?
Mijn geloof. Mijn geloof is dat iedere keer als ik denk op een doodlopende weg te staan en vraag van, of meestal help, wat nu, dat er echt bijna de volgende dag, het klinkt ongelooflijk, maar het is echt waar, de volgende dag voel ik iets van een antwoord wat ik gevraagd heb.
Aan wie?
Aan God.
Zeg je zo even?
Ja, nou ja, God is voor mij, en dat bedoel ik niet oneerbiedig, maar ja, hij leeft zo in mijn leven, iedere dag, ieder uur, dat het is zoals je mama of papa zegt. En zo is God voor mij.
Je komt bij veel bedrijven, je komt bij veel mensen thuis, je hoort veel problemen, verdriet, pijn. Hebben ze zelf ook gekend de afgelopen jaren?
Mijn moeite is dat ik heel veel wegen zie.
Uitdagingen?
Uitdagingen. Maar
dromen.
Niet precies dromen. Maar niet precies welk pad ik moet kiezen. En het liefst zou ik alle paden tegelijkertijd. Dus zoef, 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 zoef. Dus het is hartstikke druk. En aan het eind zit ik helemaal en zeg, oh lieve Heer, alsjeblieft wijs me. Wijs me toch, want ik wil graag, maar ik weet niet hoe en ik weet niet wat precies.
We bellen zo wel eens met elkaar en dan delen we dingen uit het leven. En het leuke is altijd dat het gesprek altijd op één iemand terechtkomt. Een schrijver waar we beide heel erg van gecharmeerd zijn.
Henri Nouwen.
Ja, 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 ja. Ja, nog altijd, hè? Is dat voor jou?
Ja. Dat is mijn houvast.
Ja.
Als ik even het niet meer zie zitten, hè, dan lees ik het boek Binnengeroepen.
Ja.
En ja, daar vind je dan zoveel steun uit. En ik lees het graag vaak weer over, omdat ik voel dat wat ik van Henri denk geleerd te hebben, dat je niet alleen maar moet leven naar wat de anderen van je vinden. Want dan ga je als een op en neer. En van Henri heb ik geleerd dat je het kind van God bent. En dat je dus veel meer deze lijn
stabiel
kan blijven. Maar dat lukt me niet altijd. Al zeg ik wel, van het gaat al een heel stuk beter.
We gaan eens van huishoudelijke zaken, geestelijke zaken, persoonlijke zaken naar de schoonmaakzaak.
Het supers opgenomen.
Ja, het supers opgenomen. Je hebt een prachtig boek geschreven, De Grote Supersop. Ik kan het niet uitspreken. Je hebt een, ja, ik zit daarnaar te kijken. Je hebt een heleboel schoonmaakspulletjes meegenomen.
Tuurlijk.
Ja.
Want het is vandaag Moederdag.
Ja, daarom.
Dus
de mannen krijgen nu les hoe ze schoon moeten maken.
Even nu de kamer in. Mannen en kindertjes, opgelet. Mama ligt nu in bed. Papa maakt nu misschien croissants. Maar wij gaan mama verrassen met hoe je heel mooi de ramen kan zeemen. Want mama's vinden dat niet altijd zo'n leuk klusje. Dat ga ik jullie leren. Lieve papa's en kindertjes. En nou gaan we mama verrassen. Ligt ze nog lekker in bed? Nou, kom maar eventjes kijken. We gaan...
Wat ga je doen? Sorry.
Ik ga ramen zeemen, Jan.
Ja, maar die zijn schoon. Mag ik ze even vies maken?
Nou, die zijn helemaal niet zo schoon als jij denkt. Maar als je ze vies wil maken, maak jij ze maar
ja,
vies.
Ja. Kijk.
Nou, ga jij ook maar goed kijken hoe het moet. Nou, papa's en kindertjes, kijk goed. Een emmertje half met lauw water gevuld. Daar doe je bij. Een ui. In vieren gesneden, gewoon met de schil. Plom. Erin. Daar doe je bij een heel klein beetje afwasmiddel. Het lijkt net alsof je een heerlijke salade voor je moeder gaat maken. Zo. En dit is ammonia. Dan moet je niet te dicht met je neus bovenop, want dat stinkt. Ja.
En wat doet die ui er dan in nu? Wat?
Die ui doet erin, daar zit zwavel in. En zwavel zorgt dat het allemaal vet en resten van bladeren, et cetera, van je raam afhaalt.
Oké, nou, ik wil het zien.
Wil jij het zien?
Ja.
Oké. Nou, ik ga toch nog eventjes met jullie verder. Want, kijk, ik heb een paar sokken van mijn zoon. Nou, en die gebruik ik altijd als was en als drooghandje. Dat is handig. Nou, ik doe dus zo. Heb je nooit meer een vieze spons of een vieze zeem. Hupsakee. Nou, zo. Hop, 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 hop. Zie je wat een vuil daarover komt? Dat is ook leuk om te zien dat je resultaat krijgt. Dan gaan we nu met de wiper. Gaan we eroverheen. Hop. Hop.
Hop. Afkorting van out of power.
Zo. En dan daarna, en daar moet je altijd aan denken, even goed navrijven. Zo. En dan heb je toch een raam dat er weken en weken glimmend uitziet. Nou, en was dit nou zo'n moeite? En zie je, die sok is nog helemaal schoon. En dan zal ik je nog een handig idee geven. En die is echt handig. Als je nou nog niet zo goed ramen kan zemen, dan heb je wel strepen op de raam. Nou, als je nou de buitenkant bijvoorbeeld zo afneemt en de binnenkant van de ramen zo afneemt, dan kan je later altijd zien als er nog ergens een plekje zit, hè, iets wazigs, dan kan je dat of binnen of buiten nog even schoonwrijven. Nou, en ik weet zeker dat jullie je moeder ontzettend gelukkig maken. En niet vergeten, hè? Ui.
Nou, maar als ik naar de ruit kijk, dan ziet het er spik en span uit. Ik vond het echt een briljante tip.
Ja,
hè? Heel voordelig. Ja. Ja, bedenk je het allemaal zelf?
De meeste tips wel, ja. En mama is al regelmatig bang en vraagt zich af dat mijn badkamer of keuken nog niet ontploft is. Dat zou toch zeker al gebeurd moeten zijn. Ja. Wat ik allemaal bij elkaar weet te gooien.
Ja, ja. Ja. Nou, vond je ontzettend, vond het ontzettend leuk om je hier bij me thuis te mogen ontvangen. Ik heb nog één vraag. Kijk eens even naar die herten daar in de tuin.
Ja, prachtig. Ja.
Nee, daar gaat het niet. Ja, die zijn, maar die zijn een beetje vaal geworden. Wat moet ik nou doen om ze weer te laten glimmen?
Helemaal niets. Dat heet gepatineerd en die horen gepatineerd te zijn. Dus als jij daar iets aan doet, dan worden die hertjes een heel stuk minder waard. Dus rustig naar blijven kijken. Dit hoort zo te zijn, Jan.
Tot uw orders. Maar ja, ik neem afscheid van je. Ongelooflijk leuk. Nogmaals, dat je hier was met deze bonbonschaal van kristal vanuit Amerika. En hij is eigenlijk heel bijzonder. Want ik ken heel weinig van deze fraaie schalen met een bijbeltekst erop. En deze is Jesaja 40 vers 31. Daar staat, en ook voor jou, en dat meen ik. Zij die het van God verwachten, putten nieuwe kracht. Ze zullen opstijgen als met vleugels van een adelaar. Ze worden niet moe en ze worden niet mat. Mag ik je deze geven?
Dankjewel. En dan kan ik niet anders zeggen dan wauw.
Ja. Oké. Maya Middendorp. En wij gaan terug naar de christelijke titel.
I woke up today in a place where I feel frightened. Just like every other day. Maybe one day, someone will keep me safe. Today, we don't have much hope. But maybe someday, we will. There are thousands more just like me and my brother. Please, don't leave us on the waiting list forever.
He just wants to lay down his heavy load. Swing your chains up and let me ride. Swing your chains up and let me ride. Rock me, Lord, calm and easy. I got a home on the other. Swing your chains up and let me ride. Swing your chains up and let me ride. Rock me, Lord, calm and easy. got a home on the other side, on the other side, other side.
This morning, I want to talk about love and fear. I want to convince you that love and fear cannot negotiate with one another. That you can never strike a good balance between having a little bit of love and a little bit of fear. That in the end, one will win. The two are constantly battling each other. And eventually, either fear or real love will gain the victory in your life. And who will win is up to you. And in large part, up to your faith and how much you trust and sense that God is near. If you have your Bibles, open up to 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. And I want to read about what John says to the church about love. He says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is being made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us his Spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him, and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in his world, we are like him. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he loved us first. If anyone says, I love God, yet he hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his neighbor, whom has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command: whoever loves God must also love his brother. Love is the highest moral ethic for a Christian. Some of us say, I don't like Christians. They're mean. They're hypocrites. They're unkind. They're hateful. You know, they use religion to manipulate and control people. And I would say to you, anybody that defines those characteristics in their lives is simply not a Christian. The thing that defines whether or not Jesus Christ lives in the heart of the man is the measure of how much he loves. So to love is to do God's work. Because as this book says, God is love. Now, we want to be people who love. We want to love others. We want to do good things. But there is something that will always plague you and keep you and haunt you from loving. And that is fear. Fear. Fear casts out love. If perfect love casts out fear, perfect fear casts out love. Let me tell you. Fear poisons everything. Fear poisons everything. And when I speak of fear, I talk about dread. I mean, real fear will poison every aspect of your life. You could be having a wonderful day. Everything is going perfect. You won the lottery and you're sitting having a cup of coffee with your favorite celebrity. And someone just walked by and said, you look gorgeous today. And yet you know tomorrow you're going to the gallows? You're not going to enjoy that day, are you? Because fear poisons everything. We must learn to be people who can live without fear. Fear poisons our relationships. Henry Nouwen says that a relationship is oftentimes like a wounded bird. Imagine you're walking through the meadow and you see on the ground a bird that fell from a tree, and you decide to care for this bird, so you pick up the bird and you hold it in your hands. If you hold the bird too tight, you'll crush it and kill it. But if you hold the bird too soft, it'll fall and surely die. Fear is the thing that causes us in our relationships. When we have a loved one or a friend or a partner and we have them in our hands, it causes us to go, "No! Don't leave me!" And you crush that relationship. Or you're holding that person in your hands and you're afraid of commitment and all these other things, and you just say, and fear causes you to drop it to the ground. The only way you can have a really fruitful and great relationship, no matter what it is, a friendship or a partnership or whatever, is if you can find that harmony of what it means to hold with gentleness. And you can't be a gentle person if you've got fear, if you've got fear on the inside. Fear is paralyzing. We do this thing for leadership in my home called ropes course. We take huge telephone poles that are 100 feet high, and we have ropes that go across, and we have engineers that set it all up. It's 100% safe. And we put this harness on, just like we're mountain climbing, and we have a rope that goes to a pulley, and we have to go through this obstacle course. Now, if the obstacle course were only, say, a meter off the ground, it would be so simple. You could walk across the log. You could go across the monkey bars. You could jump and grab a thing, right? Because you're only standing off the ground 3 or 4 feet. And it's so funny because when you're down there looking up, it looks ridiculous. And you think, that's easy. It's no problem. That has to be the easiest thing I've ever seen in the world. And then you put the harness on, and you put this rope on, and you start climbing. And you climb higher and higher, and higher and higher. And this pole that you're climbing starts to shake a little bit, and the wind starts to blow, and you look down, and all of a sudden, 100 feet is a lot higher from up high than it is down low. And you keep climbing higher and higher, and you get up there, and you think, walking across a log would be the easiest thing in the world, but it will take some guys 10, 15 minutes. They're hugging, they're screaming, "No, no!" And you've got a rope attached to you. You've got this, like, double harness that can hold 2,000 pounds. And there's no way you could be hurt. And yet, with all the knowledge in the world, you know you can't be hurt, yet you don't know it here, man. And that fear paralyzes you. This course is meant to teach people that even though you feel fear, you can move forward. And we find that the more afraid a person is up there, the worse they do. The more they can conquer their fear and be confident, the better they do. Fear is paralyzing, and it paralyzes all aspects of our life. Your goals, all the things you want to accomplish, if you're afraid, it's like ice, it's like cold, it grips your soul. Fear makes us competitive with one another. Competition isn't necessarily bad like in business, but sometimes we carry those aspects into our relationships, and you compete with your friends. You compete with your wife or your husband or your kids, and that's caused by fear. If fear is in your life, everything will be poisoned. If fear is in your life, you will be paralyzed. If fear is in your life and you don't know how to handle fear, you will not be able to accomplish your goals, you'll not have good relationships, and you'll always be in a rush. And then you'll look back on your life and say, "Goodness, what was I so afraid of?" I want to encourage you and show you that you can live a life not without fear, but in spite of fear. I want to convince you that you can live life in spite of fear. And that if you can become a person that embraces perfect love, fear will be diminished in your life. And your confidence, and your joy, and your happiness, pleasure will grow in your life. The apostle says to us the ancient words, perfect love, it casts out fear. Perfect love means godly love. The word is teleos, it means wholeness, and that comes from God, Perfect love casts out fear. And we think, what does that mean, perfect love casts out fear? Well, let me give you a good analogy. Let's say I'm walking down the road to my home, and all of a sudden I see a building on fire or something, and I think, oh my goodness, that building is on fire. Well, that's a scary thing. And somebody says, hey, you should go in that building. What will I say? Of course not. The building's on fire. I'm afraid of fire. I don't want to touch it. In fact, I'm going to keep my distance and stay as far from that building as possible. But say someone puts their hand on my shoulder and they say, Robbie, that's your house. And inside is your wife and children. With reckless abandon, I will run into a burning building. Even if they put their hand on my shoulder and they say, they're dead, I'm going to push them away and do whatever I can to run into that building. Because perfect love casts out all other fear. When you're really consumed with love, there's something about it that's more powerful than the fear. And it causes you to do something even as crazy as running into a building to save someone because you love them. Not too long ago, we were in Turkey for the Hour of Power Netherlands tour, and we went to this ancient ruins of a city called Hierapolis, and we were walking around. I got to see the theater and all these ruins and buildings and gates, and I was ascending this hill and going up and up and up and wondering what this town might have been like. And then I got to a little sign that said, this is the location of the martyrdom of St. Philip. And I remembered from church history St. Philip. This man was brave. He was one of the 12 apostles of Jesus, and he felt like the Lord was sending him to the city of Hierapolis. The city of Hierapolis was the gambling center of Asia. It was huge. I mean, there were tons of money and all sorts of debauchery and all this stuff, and he decided, I want to go there and show people God's love and show them how to live life the right way. When he arrived at the gates, there was this altar in which you have to burn incense to Caesar to say, Caesar is God and not anybody else. And then you pass through a gate in which you acknowledge Caesar as God. Philip, when he approached the city in response to his call and love for God, he looked at this burning altar with contempt, looked at the guards right in the eye, and walked around the gate into the city. Wow, that is courage. That is courage. And this man did die for the gospel. But he lived completely without fear. And in his lifetime, Hierapolis went from the gambling center of Asia to one of the biggest Christian cities in the Roman Empire because of one man and his ability to live his life without fear. He was not afraid of death. He was not afraid of pain. He was not afraid of any of these things. The only thing he wanted was to bring God's love to a hurting and torn people. God has, in a way, called us to be this kind of a person. You say, well, how can I be not afraid of death? How can I be not afraid of suffering and pain and hurt and anguish? And I will tell you that you have to love God. And the more you love God, and the more you're in communion with Him, you will find that your soul naturally will desire God and His things more than all of these other things. You will realize that although everybody dies, not everyone really lives. The more you have that knowledge, not just in here, but deep, deep down in your soul, the more you become a person that lives with power, confidence, strength. We, however, we don't look at our fear proactively. We say about our goals, I have a great goal I want to accomplish, but I'm afraid of risk. I'm afraid of what might happen to me if I pursue it. I'm afraid it'll fail. I'm afraid I'll lose all my money. I'm afraid about my current job. We have these things that in our lives we know we should do, but we say, I'm going to wait until the fear goes away. I will tell you that if you wait until your fear goes away, it will always be there and you will live with regret. Fear never goes away if you just sit around on your butt. Fear never goes away. Fear goes away only if you take action. So, for example, when I was learning to drive a car, I got behind the wheel and I thought, oh my goodness. I started the car and I started driving and I gripped, white knuckled, the steering wheel. And I went 5 miles an hour and I'm like, we gotta slow down, you know? And I was driving and then I turned and then when I stopped, I didn't stop, I stopped, you know? And then started, you know? And so when I began, I was in a way, I had a lot of fear. But over time, the more I drove, the more relaxed I became, the more confident I became, the better I became. And fear disappeared because I took the action to learn or move forward in spite of how I felt. The only way fear goes away is if you face it. The only way fear goes away is if you say, I don't care about these emotions on the inside, I'm going forward. Fear disappears in the midst of experience. Experience! But it will never go away if you just sit around. It will never vanish. Life's not that easy. Sorry. It requires that you take a risk, that you take a leap, that you jump, and that you believe in a God who believes in you. I also want to warn you that if God really wants you to get something done, you may not have a choice. And that God may force you to do that thing for your own dang good. God may force you to do that thing for your own good. I will turn again to my father. I was sitting on a beach, cowardly 7-year-old, afraid of the ocean. Waves were crashing. In California, we get some big waves sometimes. I was sitting there on the beach. I wasn't a great swimmer, and I was sitting there, and all of my friends were in the water playing and having a good time. And my dad was sitting across from me, maybe 4 feet. He looked over at me like this, and I was playing with something in the sand or something, and he looked at me and said, why don't you go play with your friends? And I said, well, I just don't feel like it right now. And he said, well, you should go play with your friends. They're in the water. They're having a fun time. And I said, no, Dad, I'm fine. I like the sand. It's nice. And he looks at me, concerned. He gets up, stands really tall, and grabs me by the hand, and he says, let's go. And I go, no! I mean, I knew. Once he grabbed my hand, I knew there was no escaping this man. And when I screamed, he didn't let go. He grabbed harder. And he took his huge arms and wrapped it around my little worm of a body and said, we're going in, get ready, and started running for the ocean. And I am screaming at the top of my lungs, no, no, no! And there he goes. He's running towards the water, holding me under his armpit. And then he held me like this. I'm screaming and crying. A big wave coming, and he says, you ready? You ready? Here we go. Boom! Just like that, right into the wave, head first. And I'm like, ah! Ah! He's like, ready? One more. Here we go. Boom! Ah! Ah! This kind of a thing. And then he picked me up, and he held me tight to his chest. And his, you know, what is it, 100, 1 meter 85, is that what you'd say? 6'3", 100 kilos of solid muscle. Waves didn't touch him. They went right around him. And he's holding me in his arms. He says, are you okay? And I said, no, I hate you. And he said, all right, here we go. And I was like, no, boom. And I did that long enough that he started doing that. My screams of fear turned somewhere in the middle to screams of laughter. And he kept standing there until I felt okay. And he taught me and he showed me. Ever since then, I've never been afraid of waves. I surf. I love the ocean. It's a wonderful thing. It's a horrible thing to live in California and be afraid of the ocean, though, I'll tell you that. And so my dad forced me to do that. This will happen in your life. If you don't take the step yourself, you may be thrust into that which you are afraid of the most. And you will scream, and you will curse God, and you will say, I hate you. And he will say, I love you and I am here with you, but you will be strong. And you will scream, no, let me go, release me. And with his big, monstrous arms, he will stand with you and he will not shake and falter. And he will say with you, be strong, have courage, be strong. There is nothing more euphoric, more sublime, more wonderful than conquering your fear. Just as there is nothing more awful than sleeping at night with dread and fear, looming doom, there's nothing more wonderful than conquering your fear, than saying, even though I have this fear on the inside, I will move forward. I will not let these things stop me. I will move forward because I have a big God. And I know He will never leave me. And He will never forsake me. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Now, some of us have fathers who were harmful and unkind. We pray that you would be our new father, the one who does push us, but pushes us with love and kindness. I pray, Lord, that we would all know that you treasure us, that even beyond death, Father, you are there and you want us and desire us. Lord, we love you, and we pray that we would have perfect love for you and for those around us, and that this love could cast out all fear. And how we love you, God. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
En dat was de jonge, enthousiaste dominee Robbie Schuller op Moederdag. En ik vond één ding heel mooi wat hij zei. Angst is als vergif, maar liefde, die kent geen angst. En dat is een hele mooie om over na te denken op deze Moederdag. Fijn dat u en dat jij gekeken hebt. Fijn dat jij er was, Marja. En ik hoop veel gebruik te maken van jouw tips. En wij hopen u en jou volgende week weer te zien bij Hour of Power. Dan een bijzonder verhaal van Jos Revo. Hij won de lotto. 3 ton. En wat deed hij ermee? Hij verbruikte het aan cocaïne. Een heel bijzonder verhaal. En ik hoop dat we iedereen volgende week weer mogen begroeten. Een goede zondag, een goede moederdag. Tot volgende week.